But that takes us to another point. These creatures he made, the word we're looking at. Look back down at your Bible to get oriented, because someone came up to me after first service and said, you didn't mention the Bible. And I said, well, it's right there. It's the fifth angel. That's what we're looking at this morning. Let's your mind go from that. And let's talk about angels and demons, because there's two types of angels revealed by God, the good and the rebels. So it's very clear from the divisions of angels, God doesn't tolerate any rebellion at all. Those angels who didn't do what he said, he's dealt with. And by the way, we're going to see in a moment that there are some even more dealt with than others. But among the good ones, the angels, there are many orders, both of good and bad angelic creatures. On the good side, there are at least five orders that the Bible talks about. And the first one is Lucifer. That's the pre-fallen Satan. He was the guardian. He was the anointed. He was the covering cherub. Lucifer means light. And that was his role before he fell to become Satan, which is clearly spoken of in Ezekiel 28 and Isaiah 14. He was the covering anointed cherub, which seems to have been much like a parabolic reflector of the glory of God back upon himself. But as he did that, he was a cherub. He was one of those living beings. And that's the second type of angelic creature, which Satan was one before he fell, called the cherubim, which literally means the living ones. They're found around God's throne in other places, Genesis 4, Ezekiel 1, Revelation. And they are covered with eyes. And they have four faces, and they have six wings, and they fly around, and they say constantly that God is holy. And then they're the ones we know a lot better, the archangels, that's Gabriel and Michael, who are very powerful. And then there are these flames or seraphim. They're described in various ways. In Isaiah 6, they are angels that go back and forth between the throne and the altar. But also in Revelation 1, 4, and 5, and 8, they seem to always stand like towers of flames around God's throne. They are possibly the same as the seraphim of Isaiah, but the word seraph means to burn, fiery. They're just like a column of burning fire that surrounds the throne of God. And then beyond them are the normal angels by the billions. They're all through scriptures. And those are just the good ones. Now the other third that are the fallen ones, the demons. And there are at least seven different orders of demons that have power that's much more. The good angels, it doesn't really talk that much about what they can do. We see it here and there. But the bad angels, a lot is told us about them. And the dark side of the angel spectrum, several orders of bad or unholy or rebel angels test the limits of our mind to understand. Let me just give you a quick rundown of the bad guys that are against every one of us that name the name of Christ. And that's why it's so good to know that we have the Spirit of God within us at the instant of our salvation, because he is the only protection against this group that are always against us. First of all, there's the angel of light. By the way, that's what God calls Satan. The former Lucifer in 2 Corinthians 11:14 is called the angel of light. Isn't it interesting that every time a Mormon who denies the deity of Christ or some other false teacher sees an angel, they're always an angel of light that's saying, you don't need Jesus, just come to me, come to me. See, that's Satan's primary role as the deceiver, the angel of light. He is also called in the scriptures as the ruler of this world, John chapter 12, verse 31, and the fallen, formerly highest and most powerful of all the angels. John says in chapter 5 of his first epistle that the whole world lies in his lap. And he is the one that is pulling the strings and orchestrating a global rebellion against God. But we don't know very much about him, and there's another minion that's after him. He's called the Destroyer. We do know more specifically about him. This is a specific named angel that is also referred to as the one that the Lord sends to bring death. In fact, in Exodus 12, 23, the Destroyer is the same angel that God unloosed for one night in Egypt. And in one night, one angel killed every firstborn male in the country and every firstborn animal in the flock in the dark in one night in a whole country. That's an astounding feat. He got loose at God's control once again and killed 70,000 men in 3 days because of David's census in 2 Samuel 24. Also, in the response to the prayer of Isaiah and Hezekiah, he would destroy the entire Assyrian army besieging Jerusalem in 2 Chronicles 32:21. In fact, a week from Wednesday, the group that's going to Israel is going to be standing on the actual wall. And I'm going to be pointing them to where Hezekiah stood as he woke up that morning when the angel of death came and destroyed 185,000 soldiers sleeping in tents just outside the north wall of Jerusalem. In one night, without a sound, this angel killed 185,000 warriors. Just like that. Just when they woke up in the city of Israel, or Jerusalem, they looked out, and it says they were all dead, just laying there on the ground. This guy is not to be messed with, and he is the one that we see unleashed in Revelation 9 onto the whole planet. Then thirdly, his cohorts are the horrible monsters that are under the destroyer, who is named Abaddon. These are horrific creatures in the abyss. If you look at verse 11, it talks about this captain coming out with them behind him. And they come out like locusts coming out of this smoke of a furnace coming out of the pit. And those horrible monsters are chillingly described. I mean, just hearing what they can do as we go through those verses is very similar to what demonic possession, people that Christ met that were writhing and foaming and horribly afflicted and twisted bodies, that's what these demons do to everyone they touch all over the face of the earth for 5 months. Number four are the doomed angels. They're described as angels chained by God and imprisoned in a place Peter calls Tartarus, a prison. They're awaiting final judgment, Jude says in chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. And so among the bad ones in the pit, there's even worse ones that God says, I'm never going to let them out. They're chained forever. They're so bad. And then there are the national princes, the prince of Persia, one is called, the prince of Greece, another's called. That's in Daniel 10. And then in Ephesians 6, there's another group that we don't even know for sure how many of them there are. There are principalities and powers, rulers of darkness of this age, spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. And then beyond that, there are demons, fallen angels that don't have any title. But for just a second, did you notice what I said about just one of them, his power? In Exodus 12:23, he kills every firstborn baby and flock member in one night. Did you know to have a biometric database that tells who in the dark in a home is firstborn and male and out in the pasture, which of those animals was born first? No one has a database like that. Even the NSA doesn't have anything that is like that. And then to be able to do it in the dark across the whole nation, and to be able to do it and see that there's blood on the doorways of certain houses so you don't touch their animals or their children, is nothing that is humanly possible. And yet one angel did that in one night. In 2 Samuel, he went through and got the 70,000. In 1 Corinthians 10, in Revelation 9:11, we see him. His name is the Destroyer. God identifies him in Hebrew as Abaddon, and in Greek as Apollyon.